People think, as a money educator, I'm there to sort out their finances. But in reality, my job is about having authentic and sometimes very raw conversations about life and the impact money has on our choices. I'm Vanessa Stoykov, and in this podcast, we're going to follow six people opening up very real conversations about their lives and money at their high school reunion. We'll then take key lessons from my first book, The Breakfast Club for 40-somethings, and dive into their behaviour and how it affects their life choices. I'll be talking about the five powerful pillars of behaviour with some leading CEOs and finance heavyweights to open up the conversations we all should be having about money. And we'll be looking at what financial freedom looks like to six very different people and how the choices they make gets them the life they deserve. So forget about spreadsheets and budgets. This podcast is a story about people we all know. They live in every city and town, and some of them are exactly like you. The decisions they make about money are life-changing, and we'll have front row seats to see what happens. Join us on their story and learn how to build your own pathway to the future you want with money conversations that can radically change your life. Now, let's get down to business. Last episode, we met Karen and Russ.
It's me, Russ, and do you remember my wife?
Hi, Karen. Oh, I remember you. Yep, still married to this one.
That's what 17 years of marriage will do to you.
Karen and Russ reached a flashpoint and realised they needed to rethink their approach to time by unlearning some patterns of behaviour as well as seeking expert advice. And they were able to make better decisions for the future. This week, we're going to talk about the second of our five pillars, focus. Prioritising is about perspective. Too often, we get caught up in the day-to-day detail of life. But what we fixate on is what we get. So we need to look at the bigger picture. By putting short-term challenges in perspective, we can find our true focus. Focus is discipline in the service of a goal. But it's not all struggle now, enjoy later. A good long-term plan can help us enjoy the now. And if we choose to dream big, well, it's focus that gives us the power to create that life we want. Let's meet Jasper. Back in high school, he was an aspiring professional football player. But his sports career didn't quite work out the way he wanted to. And those natural talents haven't seen any use for quite some time. With no plans or direction, Jasper has floated between low-income jobs with little stability or success. And on top of that, he's developed a habit of drinking a little more than he should.
Yeah, I don't know. Been a while since I made a sale, but I'll make it work. Always do, don't I?
Jasper has always been the good time guy. He's charismatic, comfortable, and easily likable. But he hops from job to job. He's single, his income is average or below, and he's not very good at managing his money.
Hey, can you spot me a 50, Mum? Yeah, I know I asked you last week. I'll pay you back when I make my next sale. Feel good about selling one this week. Thanks, Mum. I owe you one.
To make ends meet, Jasper has recently moved back in with his mother to ease the financial burden, whilst telling everyone else that he's the one helping her. With only 50 grand in super and no savings, after many years, it's starting to wear thin. He's needing to look further than the next paycheck. Jasper needs to get acquainted with our second powerful pillar of money, focus. Jasper never found a life goal after his football dreams went away. With time on his side, he could afford to float along without a direction. But as a 40-something, he now needs to make sure his efforts are directed to his future instead of just the present. Well, Jasper's most people's favourite characters in the book because he's a lovable Aussie larrikin. And so I thought I would pick my own lovable Aussie larrikin to come and talk about Jasper, Andrew Rocks. Serial entrepreneur, he has had a lot of laughs with me, but he's also given me, personally, some really great financial advice. I want him today to talk about the character of Jasper, because we all know a Jasper. We all love a Jasper. So let's talk about him. So welcome, Andrew.
Thanks, Vanessa. And there's a Jasper in every town. There's almost a Jasper in every social grouping. I don't know why, but Jasper pops up.
And he's in his 40s, unreliable income. Luckily for him, his mum lived in Sydney and he could move in with her and tell people he was helping her out, which we kind of know he really wasn't, but she's good mum. She lets the boy stay home. How common is it? You've been a financial planner, you've owned planning networks and you know Jaspers. How common is it to see someone get to that age in their 40s and still not have a focus?
I think it's increasingly common because of the delay now from 20 or 30 years ago from people adulting. People used to be compelled to adult in their early 20s. If you think back, the baby boomers were definitely early 20s. The Gen X were 25 to 30. But the Jasper or the carefree attitude that used to be the sole domain of the lad in the 20s is now really into the late 30s. All of a sudden, they're turning around in their 40s, as Jasper is in the book, realizing that they're not 25 anymore. And it must be quite confronting for them for that moment when they realize.
Jasper's mum had always given him a bit of extra help, and she suspected she knew where Jasper's carefree nature came from. Her husband, Jim, worked up to 18 hours a day to buy their house and provide for his family. But having an absent father absorbed with work only showed Jasper that his father was someone he never wanted to become, and his mother indulged him more than she should have with this belief.
Jasper himself, his trauma was watching his father, and we learn from mentors, and quite often it's learning from your father or your uncle or your older brother or something like that. So having that role model, the Yorkshire sort of 18-hour-a-day person, didn't do him any favours. So I absolutely believe that the psychology of how you think and finding your passion is the first two steps in a financial plan.
But if his dad was never in a job he was passionate about and always must have felt quite resentful that he was working so hard to pay for everything, I think that is a trauma for him. He obviously didn't spend enough time with his father, and then he felt guilt later because he'd been trying to be everything his father wasn't. And I think a lot of the time when we're young, you run away from what you don't want to be. I don't want to be like them. And so you go in the exact opposite direction. And then he's had to realise, well, hang on, like maybe I do need to be a little bit like that. But how we grow up really shapes who we are financially.
As a parent, you've got a responsibility not just to tell your children what to do, but to act in a way, because they'll learn from your actions. And my personal journey was that my grandfather shaped how I think about life and finances. He taught me about the power of relationship building. Giving when you don't expect anything in return. He did that all his life, and he had six wonderful children, solid marriage, lots of grandchildren, and it looked effortless for him. His key was build the relationships with people, be empathetic and care and listen to them and celebrate the wins.
Josie, this suite is nice. We've got to get bathrobes for everyone else too. Can't just be you living, Lux. And a big breakfast spread too. What's the number to get room service up here? Or is there a butler somewhere?
Even after the reunion, those habits reared their head again. And the people close to him wonder how they can help Jasper avoid falling into old ruts.
You've got to be good for people, not just good to them. With having a long career in financial advice, I think the most confronting thing is that you're not there to make friends. You're there to empathise with them. But sometimes you might be the first person ever in their life that's pulled them up and said, well, maybe you should have a look at yourself. Maybe what you're doing is not just impacting yourself, but impacting others. And the most obvious person it's impacting in the book is his mum. I relay back to, I think it was Bingo, where he would rush in and ask for a sneaky $50 note. So I think that being that confronting, and that's the role of someone in that position, is to do that.
When you're not in it, it's a bit easier to see your way through it. But Jasper's really driven by short-term desires. So focus for him was a huge pillar in the book because he was focused on the next party, the next girl, the next dinner. It comes to the point in life where you've got to stop doing that, right?
It does.
You can figure things out, but it's the motivation. A lot of what I talk about now is, what do you want? Talk to yourself. Are you happy in your job? Do you like your life? Do you like where you live? Are you sick of paying for school fees? What's your life like and how would you want it to be?
Money is a byproduct of what you do and what you believe in and what you're passionate about. And if you're not passionate about getting up in the morning and doing whatever it is you do, money will never come. Jasper doesn't enjoy selling cars. He doesn't enjoy it. He's not passionate about it. Notwithstanding that, there are fantastic people in the motor industry who've made fortunes, but he's not passionate about what he's doing.
Something had recently ignited Jasper's passion, though. Jane, another member of our group of 40-somethings. Jasper ran into Jane doing groceries a couple of weeks before the reunion. By the morning after, sparks have been flying. Jasper is finding that this unexpected romance is also igniting his motivation to improve his circumstances. Jasper has a few confronting moments and he sort of shakes them off when he meets Jane and then he asks her out on a date. He doesn't want to take her out to dinner because he would only buy fish and chips. And I think he's starting to feel like, I would like to have more.
Absolutely. And I think he has had that confrontation and you've got fear and greed as motivating factors. All of a sudden, he's hit with both of them. The desire to be better, to impress this lady, and the fear that life's moving on without him.
Someone like Jasper, who's the eternal youth, you can't be a child forever, right? You just can't. You have to grow up. After the night of the reunion, it seemed like Jasper had found a way to grow up. He could be a teacher. A sports teacher, that is. Jasper's talent for sport and lighthearted attitude pointed toward that pathway. It's scary. A university degree is a much longer commitment than Jasper has had to make. But with the possibility of a stable career and the option for funding, Jasper has a way to become someone he can become proud of. As the group talked about their futures, inspiration struck for Jasper's future. A teacher. Jasper being inspired that he could be in a job that gained respect was quite a hopeful thing for him, and his mother sort of went, oh my God, you could do something after all. I think it sort of buoyed everyone that he would have different choices.
I think that that was very much the metaphor, that if he could get his act together, then that was accretive for everyone else. The financial implications that are irrelevant was how he felt about himself. People who fail financially quite often do it because they haven't actually fallen in love with what they do. And it's a bit corny, but themselves and what they do. You know, if you love what you do and how you do it, the finances work. And that's belief, I think, having that belief. Being financially successful is not a number.
Jasper is starting to believe in a career for his future and in the possibility of a romance with Jane. And that belief can become the foundations for his focus, a way for him to put his effort and prospects into perspective. Pathways are opening up before Jasper, so how will his actions dictate his future? And how does he make sure he sticks to the plan? When we return to Jasper, it's been a month since the reunion. The major shake-up we left on was a plan to go back to university and put his skills to work as a PE teacher. Jasper, acting on advice he got at the reunion, has decided to take a chance on retraining himself, in more ways than one.
Oh, you'd never guess it, right? Me with all those books in a backpack again. They're bloody heavy. I've got to call it early tonight, though. Class in the morning and Jane doesn't want me to be late for them. I'll tell you what, though, we'll have a big one after I graduate. I'll even let you wear the hat for a picky.
Thanks to the reunion, Jasper has had a stronger sense of focus than ever before. But a university degree is a big challenge to take on as a 40-something.
And I think that the takeout for him was actually nothing to do with his finances. He had none, but it was to do with actually doing something or moving in a direction that made him find joy.
Mm. Well, he did find joy in the thought that he could be a teacher. And I guess if you like Jasper and you don't have a natural focus about you, so you drift from thing to thing, what sort of structure would someone like Jasper need to change their life, the habits of a lifetime? You're in your 40s. This shit isn't going to change easy, mm-hmm. Let's face it.
Jasper was going through week to week, day to day, month to month, and nothing was really changing. And I think that's because he had not taken the time to set any goals. The reason why he was successful at school is the reason why lots of people are. He had natural talent. There was structure. There was enforced training for football. There was a beginning and end. There was a reward. It was Pavlov's dogs. It was very simple, and potentially his personality really liked that structure. In retrospect, something like teaching or even a career in the military or something where he had that formal structure would have served him better 20 years prior. If you're listening to this and you think 65 is a long way away, it is not. It's absolutely not, because...
Well, time goes fast.
Time does. You know, time goes fast. You do things, you raise families, you have careers, and time goes fast. So it's not that far away.
Jasper's age is a big part of why setting and keeping his focus is so crucial. With less time to waste than ever before, this step towards his education is key. Jasper's new partner, Jane, is a stark contrast to him. To Jane, responsibility is everything. They're very different people, and as people that might end up joining their finances together in the future, they needed to find some common ground.
She had a trauma with her ex-husband, and that has moulded her belief in herself. If you're married or in a relationship, you're married to someone who might think differently, who might have other skills. So identifying the way in which both parties think about money and think about their careers and really getting that openness is all part of the role. It's critical.
Going to university and starting a new relationship, a grown-up one. These are big plans for Jasper. Big plans that he eventually shared with his mum. Impressed with these first steps, his mum shared some big news of her own. With an offer from a developer to subdivide her land, she's looking at being able to pass on a windfall of 800 grand to help Jasper change his life. And Jasper is in good company. He sought the advice of Karen and Russ's advisor, Ben, who advises Jasper to invest the money for retirement.
800 grand! Russ, I could buy a house with that. Could go on a holiday. God knows I need one of those. Yeah. Mum said that too. You guys all think the same.
This is a key moment for Jasper and a great example of why we need healthy money habits. We all think that a windfall will come in handy for worst-case scenarios. But what about the best case? Jasper's future was ambitious. It hinged on Jasper keeping his focus. But his commitment didn't match the ambition of his goals, and his romance with Jane dwindled. And while they maintained their friendship, the loss played a part in derailing him. With the money from his mum, he went on holiday, and eventually he found love again. And despite Ben's financial advice to protect his money, he married without a prenup agreement. Jasper had bought a house with that money, but as that relationship fell apart, he lost it in the divorce. Now his mother's 800 grand was almost gone and he had nothing concrete to show for it. His mother's gift could have been an opportunity for Jasper to secure his future. But old habits die hard, and Jasper had made a habit of trading his tomorrow for fun today.
I think the one big tragedy for Jasper in the book, I felt for him, was that he did get an inheritance off his mum and he did go on a bit of a holiday. We knew Jasper was going to do that. Hell, I'd probably do that if I was Jasper too. But he ended up losing it in a divorce. And if you get married later in life, how do you protect your kids? Or like Jasper's mum maybe should have written something in about how it was used. What do you think?
That's just all part of the openness of relationships. People are marrying later, coming to the party with careers and with assets mm-hmm. and whatnot. Having that conversation, is it fun? No. Have I seen it fun with people in front of me? It's not fun, but it's far better in a threesome. Having that other person.
that will be the pull quote from this podcast.
having that other person. Whenever you're having a debate with two people, you can have polar opposite opinions. But when you've got that third person, whether it be a counsellor, whether it be a financial services person, they actually can inject the logic and facilitate it. I'm not saying that's something people should be racing out and doing when they first meet their first boyfriend and girlfriend. But I think it's something that should be, I suppose, a little bit more publicised, because at the other end, it's terrible.
Jasper's mum, I felt a bit sorry for her because she kind of helped him all she could and she did leave him the house, but what could she have done differently?
The only thing that I think she could have done differently was sit down and structure the inheritance based on trigger events. Giving him time and achievement things, whether he finishes his education, that would trigger a certain thing.
If you're listening to this and you've got kids where you're like, I know they're going to be hopeless with money, it's the time to go and get advice and say, and it doesn't matter. Like, houses are worth so much now, no matter where you are. So if you own a house and you're going to leave it to your kids, then it's worth having those conversations on how could it be structured.
I've spoken to thousands, literally thousands of people who are wealthy and in their 60s and 70s. And we actually sit down there and identify the biggest risk is their children being idiots with their money.
Yeah,
so
right.
The best gift they can give their 40-year-old child is financial literacy. Setting them to a financial planner or whatnot and getting them sort of worded up on how it works when they get this inheritance.
Despite the derailing of his plans, Jasper made some headway. He did end up teaching, but not at schools. He dropped out of his university degree a year in, never completing his course. As his focus fell away, so did his goals. But some of that ambition stayed to give direction to Jasper's life. He found work as a soccer coach, and while it wasn't as lofty a goal, it was a job he enjoyed. One where his skills and talents made sense. And while he won't make the stable income a teaching job would have, he's still earning more than when we first met him.
Jasper's future had the potential to be more comfortable, but he had made improvements to his life, changes in direction that made a difference for him, changes that showed just how crucial finding your focus is, as well as how important it is to keep your focus.
Overall, I'm happy with where I'm at. Uni wasn't for me. And of course I'm bummed to have lost the house, especially after everything the financial planner helped me with. Still, what do you do? At least I'm out of sales and in a job I enjoy, so that's good. I still see plenty of my mates. And Mum has almost forgiven me, so that's good.
You wrote Jasper's character as a bit of a cautionary tale. What made you write Jasper's character not having the fairy tale ending?
I'm not a huge fan of having to have a happy ending. I like things to be real. And for him, he was pretty happy in the end. He didn't finish his degree, but he got to be a soccer coach. He kind of went, well, yeah, that marriage didn't work out, but it wasn't a bad ending. It just could have been better if he'd planned it and if he'd been a bit more strategic.
It was real.
It was real. Yeah. And life is real. You don't automatically get a happy ending. It wasn't until my 40s that I realised, hey, shit does happen, right? And you can't control it sometimes. It ends up as it ends up, but you've got to give yourself the best chance along the way.
Jasper's a person who's never planned. There are other characters in the book who have done some planning and they just needed some accountability points. Numbers are part of it, but time frames. I think people give themselves goals and they're not goals, they're kind of dreams. And the big difference between a goal and a dream is just a time frame. You know, an impending event. If you are the sort of person who doesn't enjoy accountability, then I would be seeking a coach. You know, people get coaches for tennis, singers get voice coaches, the best in the world get coaches. There's no shame in having a coach for your money. And they don't have to be long term. They can drift into your life and be that cathartic change event, or they can be there forever. But you've got to do something. I think it's like 1st of April, it's like change your fire alarm day. I think there should be a day a year where we kind of say, this is the day, where's your financial goals?
Life planning day.
Wouldn't it be good? Or a day, have you got a will? And that's something that as a nation we could do. It just makes us better as a nation.
Well, look, I think you've presented Jasper in a pretty fair light today, a lovable character who didn't plan enough and reaped the consequences of real life for that. But you've always done what you've done because you care, and that sets you apart in a lot of ways. People have been in good hands with you, and you're a good man and a good representative of what finance can do. So thanks for being that.
Thanks, Vanessa. And look, I think what you're doing is fabulous, telling more people to help themselves. Because it's changing your own belief in yourself and what you can do and taking that time.
Well, thanks for coming on board. Apparently, this is the year of financial empowerment being trendy. So I feel like our time may well have come finally where people give a shit. So we could be seeing a revolution of empowerment.
We've started getting real about money, but we're only just scratching the surface. Tune in to the rest of this podcast series for more insights on how those five powerful pillars can help us unlearn what we think we know about money, because money is sexy, but finance is boring. Jump on to VanessaStoykov.com to find me and all the resources you need to experience your own financial flashpoints, moments of realization about the changes you want to make. You can also find my latest book, The Five Conversations About Money, to radically change your life and start applying the lessons learned by our characters to your own life today. I'm Vanessa Stoykov. Let's talk again soon.